This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. All praise is due to Allah, the one who created death and life in order to test you, to see what's best in their deeds. We praise Him, we seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our sins and the evils within ourselves. Whomsoever Allah guides because they sincerely seek guidance, none can misguide. And whomever He rightfully causes to be led astray because they do not sincerely seek guidance, none can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, is His servant and final messenger. Allah the Exalted reminds us in the Noble Quran what is translated as, O you who believe, O believers, be conscious of Allah and let every soul reflect on what you have sent forward for tomorrow. Let every soul reflect on what deeds you have sent ahead for your afterlife. And be conscious of Allah, verily Allah is aware of all that you do. It is estimated that on average 150,000 people pass away every day around the world, on average. And it is estimated that perhaps every 30 minutes or so, every half hour, approximately 3,000 people will die. 3,000 souls will depart from their bodies in this world in the next 30 minutes on average. We know death is inevitable. We know this. In fact, in a number of studies in psychology and philosophy, there's a term for this, mortality salience. This is the awareness that people have that death is inevitable, that it is guaranteed. For whom? For all people. Atheists, agnostics, Hindus, Buddhists, Jews, Muslims, Christians, and all other people. Death is inevitable. We know this. It's a fact. None can deny this. Nobody can say, it's not possible for me. The question is, how do you feel when you reflect on death? And I want you to reflect on this question very cautiously. Because in this khutbah, we will present five death-changing questions that can change our lives and our afterlives. But I want you to ask yourself not how you think about death, but how you think about your death, your departure. Because you know that it is inevitable. What do you feel when you think about your departure from this world? Fear, anxiety, mercy, love, hope, longing to meet Allah. Do you feel ready? Do you feel prepared? Do you feel like you've done enough? Are there things you need to leave behind? Are there sins you need to overcome? Might you have regrets tomorrow? How do you feel about your death? This reality. When we look at the studies regarding mortality salience, we find that people respond to this death anxiety generally with one of two things. All people will generally think about their own death with their actions and their lives and their goals and the things they do. So reflect on yourself for a moment under one of two categories. And of course, people may fluctuate. The two categories are to embrace or to escape. When it comes to the individual reflection on your death, your departure, there is an embrace of death as a reality, and then there is an escape, psychological escape. With regards to the first category, it's a given for believers, people with religious views, strong religious views. A great number of studies across a number of years and fields, diverse in their backgrounds, and researchers have found people with strong religious beliefs about the afterlife, about their own situation after death, tend to buffer, overcome their death anxiety. So their religious belief helps you to cope with that. And of course, we're not surprised by this. And number two, escapism. And I don't want you to think when we say some people escape psychologically that we're referring to atheists or agnostics or non-Muslims alone. Because even as Muslims and religious people in general, we may slightly fall into this category and other Muslims severely fall into this category. How would we know? What is escapism? To escape psychologically is to ignore the reality, to be distracted by something else. So people who try to escape thinking about death will distract themselves with worldly things, will become very busy, even if what they are doing is completely useless. Mindless entertainment, countless hours of streaming videos, entertainment, video games, socializing. And sometimes they will make goals for themselves that are not connected to an ultimate objective, to the afterlife, to Allah. So they become distracted with these new hobbies, these new leisures, these new entertainments, at the expense of their akhirah, at the expense of their afterlife. Why is this a problem? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds people in the Quran, reminds us very powerfully, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ, you have been distracted by mutual competition for worldly things. Until when? حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ, until you visit the graveyards. And this has two meanings and we'll cover that inshaAllah. In a future khutbah, I want us to consider how we feel about our escapism. How often do we fall into this category as Muslims? That we become distracted and we feel uncomfortable with the reality of death. What is the greater obvious problem here? What is the obvious problem for a person who lives a life of escapism? They don't want to think about their death, so they become distracted by worldly entertainment, temptations, society's invitations, the whispers of the devil. May Allah protect us all. And Allah reminds us, قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. Say, indeed, the death you try to run away from, you think you're running away from it, it will still encounter, you will still find it, you will still experience it. It's guaranteed. I want you to think of the following analogy. Imagine someone is told a hurricane is coming, guaranteed, 100%. And here's a map, here's how you leave the city, here are the tools you need, but you need to leave now. And the person is afraid and they're anxious, oh my God, this hurricane is coming. Escapism would be for someone in that situation to ignore it. Turn on their TV, watch TV for a few hours, go to sleep, fulfill their desires, and the hurricane is coming. Does it change the fact that a hurricane is coming? It does not. The preparation is the only thing that is wise and reasonable. Someone tells you, this building is on fire and you need to leave. What do? Here's a map, here's how you leave the building, here's the escape route, here are the tools you need, here's a fire extinguisher, and the person ignores you. And they sit back, and they don't want to face the reality of this fire that is coming, this guaranteed, inevitable moment. So they distract themselves with their entertainment, with their home, with their sleep, with their thoughts. What happens? We know that this is not reasonable. And yet, as human beings, and even, yes, as Muslims, we do this all the time. Escapism. Running away from thinking about our own inevitable departure. And I know, yes, it's an uncomfortable thought. And that's exactly what Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, is it not uncomfortable for us to think about death? The one who is longing to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing for it. The only reasonable thing to do is to prepare for that moment. To leave that building that's on fire. To prepare for that thing that's coming. Can anyone escape death? No. So why would we not be ready for it? Why would we avoid thinking about it? And everything around us in society, Allah, the distractions that are around us are in abundance. It's easy for a human being today to waste time with useless, mindless entertainment until the day that they die. For over a century, a person can watch videos and they won't run out. What does that tell us in terms of our strategies? What it is that we need to be doing? I want us to consider some questions when it comes to this anxiety that we have. Because some people have a fear that they then transform psychologically, they channel it into what? Escapism. So I don't want to think about it. It's too uncomfortable. So this fear, instead of transforming it into something that will lead to future regret, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created death and life in order to test you, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, gave you the same, for the same thing you fear, gave you the tools to overcome it. Allah, the one who created death and that which you fear about it, or maybe anxious about it, gave you the tools so that you can embrace it. And when you embrace it, you find yourself liberated. Liberated from the shackles of a dunya. Connected to a higher purpose. Knowing that as soon as your soul is leaving your body, so long as you do what is pleasing to Allah, the first thing you will hear is, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Have no fear. Have no sadness. The place you're going to is in a righteous state. Must live truly a righteous life. I want you to consider the following five questions. The first, when it comes to your own death, if you were to depart from this world tonight, if this was the last day decreed for you in a dunya and you're moving on to the akhirah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the state of al-barzakh, the first question is, what have you left behind? Think about concrete things, examples. Maybe a sadaqah you gave to some organization that you forgot about years ago. Maybe you raised a really righteous child and you're investing a lot of time raising religious children in a very vague and confusing times in your radically skeptical age. Maybe you left behind something of beneficial knowledge you taught someone and left behind. Maybe you facilitated something good for society. Maybe you volunteered for local and global causes. What have you left behind? Number two, what have you sent ahead? When you leave, what will you find waiting for you in your account? وَلْتَمْلُوا نَفْسٌ مَا قَدِّمَتْ لِلَهِ. Let every soul reflect on what you have sent forward for tomorrow. Number three, what might you regret tomorrow that you need to repent for today? There are some people who, as soon as their souls leave their bodies, they start to say, I wish, if only. And we have so many examples so that we are reminded, so that we don't fall into these traps, so that we are not distracted in this world. Where people say, Ya laytani qaddamtu li hayati, I wish I did more for my life, my hereafter. Another person says, Ya laytani kuntu turaba, I wish I were dust so that I would not be punished on that day. Another person says, Ya laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila, I wish I did not take so and so as a friend. Why? Because they misguided, they influenced me in a negative way. And the last example, Ya laytani lam uta kitabiya, I wish I did not receive my book of deeds. These are words of regret. And the believers who follow the command of God and the revelation given to us do not say these words in the next life. But it cannot be based on false hope. You cannot expect that thing that you are not working for. Work for it. And you will find your ihsan towards Allah, your piety in terms of your deeds, will bring more of the mercy of Allah to you. إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. May Allah protect us from the regrets of tomorrow through the actions, through the productivity of today. Number four, ask yourself, what can you do better moving forward? If we don't ask this question on a daily basis, we are going to be missing. Ask yourself, how will you die? اللهم ارزقنا حسن الخاتمة. Oh Allah, grant us a good ending. How will you leave this world? The last 24 hours of your life in this world, what will you be doing? Nobody can guarantee how they leave this world. Nobody can guarantee that. And that might be a frightening thought, but the fear should be channeled into what? Productivity, good habits, something righteous. A few nights ago, some of you, many of you perhaps have heard that one of our dear brothers from the Michigan community, at the age of 23 years old, Abdul Rahim Wahid, may Allah have mercy on him, departed back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah have mercy on him and all of those who departed before him. We leave this world. There are people who left this world, they died while they were giving lectures. There are people who died in sujood, at home, in the middle of the night praying tahajjud. There are mothers who died giving birth and saying the shahada. There are fathers who died protecting their families. And to contrast this, the reality is there are many people who cannot say the shahada at the time of death. And they are talking. There are people who are told, say la ilaha illallah. Approximately 25 years ago, this took place in Kuwait. Say la ilaha illallah. And the man is singing lyrics, musical lyrics. Say la ilaha illallah. Can you hear us? I can hear you. Say la ilaha illallah. Cannot say it. A sister who was dying and they tried to cover her hair. She refused to wear hijab while she had the free will. At the time of death, wear the hijab. They're trying to cover her. Say la ilaha illallah. And she's screaming, take it off of me. She's screaming, I don't want to be covered. She's not able to say the shahada. You cannot control how you respond in the final moments unless you lived upon something. And that, yes, may be a frightening thought. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us what we need to embrace the reality and be ready for that moment. live a righteous life and you will die upon it by the will of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ informed us that you will be resurrected upon what you died upon. This is not to make someone feel bad that right now they were not doing what they should have been doing. He was not praying, she was not wearing hijab. Whatever it is, an obligation of Allah that's upon you, start doing it now. Do not procrastinate. Because your heart is still beating, you still have hope. If your heart is still beating, forget about what happened yesterday. Repent for it, but move forward for today. And think about that moment in which you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow. The believer never loses hope. And Allah does not allow us or want us to lose hope. And He makes that explicitly clear in the Qur'an. So the one who's looking for progress remembers what? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِينَ. Deeds are judged by their conclusions. If you messed up yesterday, if you were not a good Muslim yesterday, if you fell into major sins yesterday or even today, you still have hope. But don't procrastinate. Don't wait until tomorrow. For everyone who departed, there was not a tomorrow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a righteous life and the optimism and productivity and mercy and hope and endurance and perseverance to keep working towards Him so that we have as well a righteous death. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us in a righteous state and righteous company. Allahumma ameen. Seek forgiveness from Allah. He's the oft forgiving, the most merciful. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. It was reported that Uthman bin Affan رضي الله عنه was visiting the graveyard one day with a companion of his and he started to cry. And as Uthman was crying, his companion said, "Your beard has become wet with how much you're crying. Why is this the case? Like, why are you crying so much?" And as they're in the graveyard, he explains, and this is reported by Tirmidhi, he says, "I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, 'Indeed, the grave is the first stage of your afterlife.'" Your first stage of the afterlife does not begin with Ardul Mahshar, the land of gathering, or the actual Hisab. It begins when you leave this world, when your soul moves on and your body dies. The grave is the first stage of the afterlife. Whoever passes through it safely, with ease, with celebration, everything after that will be easier for him. But whoever passes through it with difficulty, everything after that will be difficult for him. And this is why our reflection when it comes to the grave should be one of productivity. I don't want to be a person of regret. We don't want our community to regret. We don't want anyone to regret the moment that they depart from this world. And therefore the only wise thing to do, prepare for it, embrace it. The believers will be celebrating as soon as they die. And they are not in a sad state. Those who are righteous are not sad right now. It is the living who have to deal with the reality of ad-dunya and the anxiety they might have departing from ad-dunya and the attachments they have to this world, to their goals, their habits, their dreams, their aspirations, their families, their wealth, their homes, their cars. These attachments make it difficult to embrace the reality that we are not meant for a dunya. You are not meant to stay here. One day soon I will check out from this world and I ask Allah to make it a righteous ending, and one day soon everyone here, every single person who's alive today will also check out, will also depart. And I ask Allah to grant us all a righteous ending. When that day comes, we want that to be a day of celebration. But that requires work. That requires effort. That requires collective unity in terms of our vision as Muslims. And this brings me to my final point. As Muslims, when we think of the reality of why we were created and the reality and the inevitable death that we will experience, old and young, whether you think you are healthy and you have a long life or you have a lot of wealth and you're attached to your wealth, the reality is we will depart and it may be sudden for some people. It may be abrupt and we ask Allah to grant us long, righteous, healthy lives. We have to consider that as Muslims, our goals, our objectives are not individual rituals between us and Allah alone, but must extend to the Muslim Ummah, must extend to the people around us, must extend to society, and that includes non-Muslims seeing the effect of Islam in their community. That requires us to think beyond just the home. During this pandemic, more and more people are thinking of the individual self, understandably so. More and more people are thinking, what do I need to do? For my family, I mean, that's it. And this requires a little more work for us to consider creatively and with long-term vision how to work with one another. And the impact of Muslims working together for noble causes locally and globally. And how you might not see the effect in your life, but if you are sincere and you do something, even if it seems minor, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيء, do not belittle any good deed. The effect might come about in 100 years, the raising of righteous children, which on its own is a great and noble task. Not just with doing something good for the community and donating for one or two causes in the community, but think globally as well. Think globally in terms of where you can use your strengths and your skills. Alhamdulillah, we have diverse skills as Muslims, people working in many fields, contributing to their fields. Think of ways to utilize that for the betterment of the ummah and working with one another as a community. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite between our hearts and grant us a good conclusion to this life. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for all of our shortcomings. Allahumma ameen. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم ارزقنا حسن الخاتمة واجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مقلب القلوب والأبصار ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين اللهم انصر عبادك الصالحين في كل مكان اللهم انصر عبادك الصالحين في كل مكان اللهم فرج الكرب عن المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان في كل مكان في كل مكان يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم طهر مسجد الأقصى من أيدي الظالمين اللهم طهر بلاد المسلمين من أيدي الظالمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا عزيز يا قوي يا متين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأقم الصلاة.